Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
Now I need you to walk with me in the Word for a moment. To all our guests, I'm so glad you're here today. And I trust that you'll hear something, feel something, or have already heard and felt something that will change your life. And that you will leave this place better than you arrived. I'm trying to get my thoughts into a particular mind today and thought pattern here. If I diagrammed my thoughts out, I would start out here and it'd probably zigzag. It'd be a map that went through the country roads to get to the destinations. But hopefully by the end of this, there will be a certain grasp and understanding. I find, and I've told you and talked to you about this before, that the Word of God is something that unfolds. It is this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This entire book, from Genesis to Revelation, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it takes so many avenues and roads and routes to get to that ultimate revelation and the revelation of the book of Revelation itself, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It takes so many routes and turns and twists to get there, but it all is so cohesive and so revelatory when we first begin to grasp and understand it today. And I'm appealing to you today by the Word of God that you don't just have an understanding of the written Word of God, but you have a relationship with the Word of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so it can't be that we just remain in a casual reading of the Word. At some point, there needs to take that next step in your life if you have not taken it. That it's more than just a piece of literature. It's more than just chapters that you check off at the end of the day that you read. But it becomes relationship in your life that leads you to Jesus Christ. That leads you to a revelation of Christ. A revelation of salvation. Because can I tell you, there can be salvation in no other way. There has to be relationship with the Word. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Everybody understand that? Don't get confused on me here. There has to be the ability to believe on Him. To believe on who? Believe on the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Who is that Word made flesh and dwelt among us? That is Jesus Christ. It is faith in Him. It is revelation of Him. And so today I'm asking you to take that next step, because many often come to the threshold, but they never cross the threshold. Many come to the place today that they have a certain understanding, but they don't have relationship. And there's more in this house today. There's more in this house today. I've always felt like that I hoped our church, the Family Life Church I'm speaking of, that we wouldn't be shallow people. That we wouldn't just meander around in shallow spiritual things, but we would have depth of the Spirit and understanding of the Word. Because with this wonderful praise team behind us, musicians that lead us into worship and do such an incredible job week after week, and aren't we thankful for them? Yes, we are thankful for that on a weekly and basis. As much as they lead us into certain things and they encourage us in certain things and even insulate us in certain ways by what we sing, because we sing what we believe. At some point, it has to go from that to a place of we cross the threshold, in other words. They can bring you into this. They can show you around the room. But at some point, you've got to have a relationship with Him. I don't want to just rub shoulders with all that is spiritual. I want to value it. I want to love it. I want it to be in my life and in my mind and in my heart. Come on, everybody understand that now? Amen. And so be it today. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time and making war against it to take it. In verse number 19 of Deuteronomy 20. Thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them. I have preached from these particular verses numerous times, but let me go a little different route today to understand this. For thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down. For the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest, that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee, until it be subdued. Yes. Now let me talk to you about that for a while and walk with me in the Word. Yes. Until it be subdued. Father, I pray right now for every one of us, pray with me, that God, we would glorify you in all of our life and that you would be exalted and that your name would be lifted and you would be praised and you would be magnified. And oh Lord, who is merciful and kind, I pray that you would anoint me and anoint this people and help us, God, this day to be surrendered, submitted, subjected to you who is great and mighty, who is working all things together for our good. And so, Lord, I pray that you baptize us, baptize our minds to understand our lives, to hear, to receive, and to respond, and to come into relationship. Anoint me to be your mouthpiece, Lord. Anoint us all this day. And I pray that some soul would repent and be baptized in your name and filled with your Spirit, God, and somebody would be healed in their body, transformed this day, God, because that is your will, for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Let the church say amen. Amen. Now, I want you to be kind to three people. Be kind to three people. Say something very nice to them. Compliment them. Look them in the eye and let them know how wonderful they are. It was Jesus who spoke in the book of Luke, whose words held a certain heaviness in them. There was an intonation of warning. Yet as well, they held a sovereign, sustaining peace and promise of continued comfort. When you understand, then read this, if you would, please. In your patience, possess ye your souls. He had said this in response to those who questioned as to when and what would be the signs of the end, what would be those things that would indicate his return. And there, in the middle of it all, it was almost as if he paused and reminded them, be patient. Yeah. I can almost imagine in my mind's eye that he gestured with his hands as he looked at this crowd of believers and unbelievers, those who followed and those who kept a certain distance. If he just lifted his hands and paused and reminded them, just be patient. Be patient. In your patience, possess your soul. Stand firm and you will do it. You'll possess it. He was pointing the path to the end, the long obedience in the same direction, the days that turned to weeks and the weeks that grew to months and months to years, seasons following seasons, all measured by the fulfillment of following his word. Be patient. Be patient in your life. Oh, how difficult that is. Be patient in your life. Be patient in your soul, in flesh and in spirit. Hold firmly. And ultimately, he was saying, you will gain the goal. He knew and he knows the very nature of us all, of all flesh, that we are more easily taken with the immediate around us, the gratification of our flesh. We are more taken with the right now. Right. His message was clear. All the things that were going to be, all the things that needed to happen would not happen at once. Do you understand this? So they had just petitioned him. What's going to be the signs? And so In his omniscience, he looked through the tapestry of time and he began to lay out the pattern and the path. It wasn't just one thing succeeding the other, but with each period at the end of a statement, there would be a pause possibly of generations. And at the end of each verse, there would be a 100 years that could possibly pass and so on. And so he began to line this message out. It was clear all the things that needed to happen would not happen at once. It would be a journey, a process. And in that process, the soul would need to be possessed by patience. It would need to be held. There would need to be the grasp on the soul of each of us in our lives. There had to be a purpose that was heeded and held to a point on the compass of life that would forever be followed. It would continually be looked at. Everybody understand this. There would be the daily need for a calibration that would be reminded as to who we are and what we live and why we live, what we live and what we do. And in that purpose, there had to be provisions made, needful, essential elements that just simply, understand this, they could not be lived without. If the journey was to be endured, if the goal gained, then the things needed to accomplish it had to be ultimately put in place. Certain things had to be put in place. David understood it. He had a vision for a temple, a place for God, a palace for a king, but it would not be his to build. You understand this? It would rest in the hands of Solomon, his son. Look at this, if you would, please. And given to Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. His vision for God, understand this, his vision for God enabled him to make provision for Solomon. To build what he, David, would never see. He would see the pieces, but he would not see the palace. When it comes to the things of God and the matters of great spiritual importance, it is often not about the moments that satisfy our flesh, but the deeper things of God that ultimately sustain our spirit. Meaning simply, the things that we do, the things that we live now, believe now, dedicate now, have an impact both in the present for ourselves and the future for those that follow us. Look at this, if you would, please. It is the dedicated pieces of our life that ultimately build the spiritual place of our life. That is true for every one of us in this house, for the young, for the old, whoever you might be, seasoned saint, or brand new at this. It is the dedicated pieces of our life that ultimately build the spiritual place of our life. It is in patience, everybody say patience. It is in patience that we possess and prepare the provisions of our soul. We and others live on and in what we provide and what we build and what we dedicate around us and in us. The life you live and I live is the example. Hear me now. And the priorities and the pattern and the plans that others follow. We become the blueprint that others build by. There's some little babies running around this church. Every Sunday after church, you'll see them zoom by you as soon as I say we're dismissed in some capacity. They're watching you. They're looking at you worship. You're teaching them how to pray, even if you don't know that. Every time you say amen, every time you live the life, every time you show up on Sunday, you are creating a blueprint that they will follow. Amen. Amen. And it must be grasped. The spiritual things weigh more than carnal things. There is a difference. Look at this. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse 15, go back to it if you would, please. First of all, everything that we live should be done for the glory of God. I have preached this for the past few months. I'm going to continue to echo it. I'm going to set the nail just a little bit deeper. Everything that we live should be done for the glory of God. Redounding or abounding to the glory of God through thanksgiving of many. Everybody say many. Many. What we live and what we do and what we be is not just about us, but it is about many.
Yes.
Look at this verse. It is about many. What I live is about many.
Yes.
I am not living by myself today. I'm not living for God by myself today. You are not living for God alone today. What we live can determine if many.
Right.
Everybody say many. If many give glory to God or not, choices we make, understand this, hear me now, choices we make can keep glory from God. Because many give glory to God by what we live. So that tells me that many could keep their glory from God, God giving getting the glory by what I live as well. Many, many around me, many around you, people are watching what you do. Amen. Be careful with what God has given you to live out for his glory, because many are affected by it. Amen.
Yes.
Verse 16, we faint not. We faint not though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed by day by day. Day by day, it's a journey, not a one-time hear me please, not a one-time emotional encounter, not just a Sunday stirring that leaves little change. It is a day by day by day by day living for God. It is tomorrow morning, it will be Tuesday morning, Wednesday evening, and Thursday mid-afternoon, Friday at lunchtime, and Saturday and Sunday when we repeat it all again. It is a day by day process. I am in journey from here to there. For our light affliction, verse 17, which is for a moment, again, a small part of a journey, a moment works for us a more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Our moments with God mean more than any moment given to the world or our flesh.
Yes, yes.
Because eternal spiritual things will always outweigh temporary carnal things.
Yes.
Do you see this in the economy of God, in the balance of the Spirit? Come on. Every carnal thing that satisfies your flesh, amen, it weighs less. And when you compare it to the spiritual things that bring you into relationship with God, our flesh may try to convince us otherwise, but I'm telling somebody in the sound of my voice, don't eat that fruit. It never lasts. Spiritual things always outweigh carnal things. It is working for us an exceeding weight. It weighs more. Look at this in verse 18. The reason is found in that we look at things which are not seen, the eternal, not the things that are seen, the temporal. When the eternal is in our sight, it enables us to learn what is important and what is not. Every time I walk to an altar, every time I show up at 9:30 for prayer, every time I fast, every time I read the word, every time I commit something to God and dedicate it to him, I'm looking beyond the temporal into the eternal, and it weighs more.
Yes.
In the balance of the Spirit, it means more. Yes, it does. The provisions that we are providing, the priorities that we are putting in place, the disciplines in our life and the life of our families, it communicates well beyond you and I getting our way and want that could cost us our soul. Look at this now, if you would. Because sentence against, this is a difficult verse. Sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. The imposed sentence, this is difficult in because our mentality in our generation, our mentality in our culture right now often looks, and I've talked about this numerous times, it often looks for immediate gratification. It talks about the feel good now. I want to feel good now. I want my way right now. I want what I want right now. That's why the world is in such debt.
Right.
Because we don't know how to say no. We don't know how to say no to our flesh. We want it now. We want to be gratified now. And in so doing, it works in every aspect and every layer of our life. And so the evil begins to run rampant and sin begins to take hold in people's lives. The imposed sentence against wrong and sin, the things that oppose God and his word, are not executed speedily. So it becomes out of sight, out of mind to us. We forget the coming consequences of the sin that we're entertaining in our life. Young people, hear me right now. You cannot entertain sin in your life because there's the ultimate consequence of sin in your life. The law of the harvest will always take effect. Sir, hear me right now. There has to be the understanding that ultimately it catches up with us.
Yes.
It may not happen today. It may not be required of us right now. They may not have to answer for it in our lifetime. We may not see the end of it soon, but someday, the sentence will be executed. Now understand this particular verse, this is not a motivation of fear as much as it should be a motivation of fact. We are living this life for the eternal, not the temporal.
That's right.
Malachi said, who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? That means every one of us, man in the pulpit to everybody in the pew, will have to answer to God. I recognize the weight of this, but it's something that we need to understand. Everybody, no matter how many years of service, no matter how good you might think you are, no matter how you might line up to the letter of the law, everybody answers to God. We all stand before him. Amen. Amen. Too many and too often are people living their life without the end in sight and ignoring his imminent return, disregarding a rapture that could be at any moment. Disregarding the rapture, the return of the Lord, the catching away of his bride that could happen at any moment. I stand in this pulpit today and raise my hand and remind everybody in this place that Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. That the rapture is real today. And it cannot be that we continually ignore that truth, that at any moment the trump of God may sound, and the dead in Christ shall arise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Everybody understand right now? It might happen before we get out of this house. That trump of God may sound before we leave and oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And it should be in the heart of every one of us that there is that preparation that we have made, that we secure our salvation, and that we are comforted by those words. Because the word said to comfort one another. If that brings you a certain dread, if the thought of the rapture brings you a certain fear, then you should make your way to this altar just as soon as you possibly can at the end of this service, and you should secure your salvation. Why? Because that trump of God will sound, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Anybody believe that with me in this house today? Everything about us is putting provision to either the things of the flesh or the things of the spirit. Now let me add something to what I said just a few weeks ago, if you would please, Jordan. We survive what we prepare for. I said this a few weeks ago back. We survive what we prepare for. Let me add to it. And we survive on what we prepare. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time and making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them. For thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life to employ them in a siege. Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee until it be subdued. There's the need for wisdom from the Holy Spirit of God to know what needs to be cut down in our life and what needs to remain and to live on. I would say, from the perspective of the pulpit, more so, Brother Helms, than any time that has ever been in my pastorate, there is the need within our church, there is the need within our culture, within our world, that we have a wisdom of the Holy Ghost to understand and to know what needs to be eradicated out of our life and what needs to live in our life. I believe that. From the perspective of this place where I'm preaching from right now, I am giving a clarion call to this church. We need a wisdom of the Holy Ghost to know what needs to remain and what needs to be removed.
Yes, sir.
We have to know what's growing in our life. Trees of life or trees to burn. Things that should grow to sustain us or things that should be removed out of the way. Let me tell you something. This war, I think you know this, but let me echo it one more time. This war lasts a long time. And provision from what grows in our life will either drain us or it will sustain us. Simply stated. What grows in our life is what we nurture and what we protect. It's what we feed. We provide provision in what we protect spiritually. What I am protecting in my life, what I am practicing on a daily basis, what I am making sure is dedicated and disciplined in my life is what I will live on. Those small things that you practice to the large things that you put in place are the provisions that keep you alive in the long battle. They are the things that will sustain you. Some of you gray-headed folks in this house, along with me, you can echo the fact that there have been dry desert places in your life that you have not had much to live on that was growing in that particular season. But because you made provision prior to that day, because you stored up vials in heaven, prayers that you prayed along the way, they kept you in that desert place. They sustained you in that season when nothing else was there to seem to live on. It was those small things to the large things. Hear me, they may take more time and sacrifice to protect, more care. They may even cost you something. But when it comes to your soul survival, no cost is too great. Musicians, corralling those kids to get them to church every Sunday. Hear me, parent, it's worth it. The prayers you pray, hear, understand, they don't go unheard. When you give, it's not forgotten by God. When you say yes to his word and no to your want, just remember you're saving a tree somewhere in your life that just might sustain you. The hard decisions that determine the health of your soul, they matter. when you don't feel like coming on a Wednesday night, but you get up out of the lazy boy and you make your way to the car and you come here for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and you're sustained just to get, it's worth it every time. Every time you make those kids get out of bed on a Sunday and go to church and then show up in the evening with the youth to make sure they're a part of what's going on, it's worth it. Every time that you pray that prayer at an altar at the end of service, that walk down that long aisle after you've been, everybody with me? That walk down that long aisle after you've been carnal all week long. Amen. And you get back to that place in God, well, all of a sudden you get a new focus and you're reminded. Can I tell you? It's worth it. It's worth every moment. Amen. Amen. It was that last line of the 20th verse that defined it all. Until it be subdued. That was the command given. No war was ever won in a day. There, no doubt, there may be many defeats and setbacks along the way. Precious ground gained 1 inch at a time, fighting the fears without the struggles within, doing the right thing even when your flesh was screaming out and wanting its own way. Praying the prayer day after day, living the life when others were not or are not. Being faithful even when fatigued, faint, yet pursuing. That's who we are. You may not know it, but with every action, every healthy habit of the Spirit, and every purpose and plan, every prayer prayed, you are making and saving provisions until it be subdued. You're allowing a tree to grow in your life that you can live on. You're allowing something to sustain you in days ahead that you have yet to see or understand. When you wanted to cut down that tree, that commitment made, when you wanted to walk away and not live the life anymore, throw in the towel and say enough, but you did not, you were letting something live that you and others could live on until it be subdued. And that has to be the repeated phrase in our mind and our spirit and our life day after day, until it be subdued. When you get up tomorrow and you feel discouraged and the enemy attacks you in your mind again and the problem faces you one more time, you have to breathe that prayer out until it be subdued. Live the life until it be subdued. Pray until it be subdued. Until the victory's won, keep on living the life. Keep on praying the prayer. Keep believing that the wall will come down, that the victory will be claimed, that the healing will happen. Resist the temptation, get up again and fight on another day. If you're not healed today, pray that you're healed tomorrow. If they're not saved today, pray they're saved this week. If you don't see the answer come, pray and ask God to give the answer soon. Don't give up. Live on the promise that's growing in your life until that thing facing you is subdued, until you hear him say, well done. Until you know that tree, it meant something along the way. You may not understood what you were going through then, because most of the times we don't understand the seasons of life that we are in until we are through that season of life that we have come through. Most of the time we don't understand why it was the way it was until we look back and we're able to see, well, that's the thing that sustains me now. And I did not know it then. When you are weary, repeat it again until it be subdued. Don't stop coming to the altar. Don't think that the small things that are given and done make no difference, because they do. God takes record. He does not forget our works of righteousness until it be subdued. Someone lift their hand with me right now in their heart and begin to pray. Oh God, I pray right now for every heart and mind in this place. Come on, somebody needs to hear this word today and understand it. If you've been quickened in your spirit at any moment during this message, if something has caused a leaping within your soul, then you need to begin to stand to your feet and make your way to this altar. If those words a moment ago in regards to the rapture somehow brought fear, you need to find that peace in the Holy Ghost. You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with his Spirit today before you leave this house. You need to secure your salvation. Come on, if sin has a hold on you, then you need to allow some things to grow in your life that will subdue that sin and cut down those things that are keeping you from God. If it was the smallest of pieces that David provided that ultimately made the greatest of palaces. It all matters. Every little thing in your life, the life you live, matters for Jesus. Come on. You are making provision today to hold something together in your life, a place, in God spiritually. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, right now, Father, I pray for every heart, every life, every mind, for every individual, for every young adult, Lord. God, help us to not be weary in the well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Come on, it matters. Every piece matters. Every piece builds the place, the spiritual place in your life. Every provision will be the thing that you live on ultimately. You're not here by chance today. You're here by design of God. He knew that you would be here long before you ever arrived. So heed this call today. Come and serve Him. Come and live for Him.